sure good to see you today, even though it has started spitting a little snow outside. A great warm spirit in here. I hope you know how blessed you are with Brother Joey and Allison here. I hope you know that. He is uniquely gifted, a wonderful worship pastor, a beautiful singing voice, a very, very warm, sweet, tender spirit, loves the Lord, / really good preacher, / a really good teacher, / a good administrator, / a good shepherd, / do you realize how blessed you are? If I was you, I'd be saying, Lord, please don't let some big church come in here and steal him away. I really would. If I was pastor, I'd be praying that, Lord, don't you let some big church from Middle Tennessee come in here and take him away. I would be praying that. You are blessed. You are blessed. I just hope you know that. I'm more convinced than ever that in these days that we live and facing the future, the condition of America and the world, more than ever, God's people are somehow going to have to figure out how to lay aside differences and come together to deal with the great issues facing our country. Our country is in a mess. Not only have we lost our direction, the vast majority of Americans are lost and separated from God. They don't know the Lord Jesus. They don't know saving faith. We've thrown the Bible away. And it's a very, very difficult situation that we're facing. And somehow we've got to figure out how we're going to be able to come together. More and more Christianity is being placed on the back burners of American society. And what really even makes this worse is the devil's done a really good job of splintering churches into all of these different denominations and subgroups. And he's even done that work in so many local churches that are so splintered and divided. And somehow, some way, we have got to figure out as the people of God how to come together and be able to serve the Lord in these difficult days, which leads to the title of this message, Will We Stand Alone or Together? And it comes from the book of Ecclesiastes, a very unknown book, one of my favorite books. I read it again last week. And it's a powerful book that deals with the kinds of issues that are going on today, right now, around the world. It's one of the wisdom literature books, and they are right in kind of in the middle of the Old Testament. You have Esther, Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and portions of those wisdom literature books were used by the Hebrew people, and they're used today in Israel during festival times and during special worship times. They will pull out these wisdom literature books and they will use those. Unfortunately, today we ignore those books too much, and yet they're powerful. So we're going to be looking at the fourth chapter of Ecclesiastes, and we're going to be thinking along this question, will we stand alone or together? Read this text with me. As I said, it's the final book of the wisdom literature, so it's right after Proverbs if you're having trouble finding it. Verse 9, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion, but woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm, but how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Precious Lord, I thank you for your powerful word. It breaks my heart that so many have just thrown your word away and they claim it is useless and not appropriate for the time we live in today, but we know your word is perfect in every way, for every time, for every season, for every decade, for every day. And so, Lord, as we look into your precious word today, help us to realize this is the inspired word of God written by the Holy Spirit himself through men who yielded to him. And so would you now speak to our hearts? Lord, my words are not important. They will be forgotten before people get to the cars. But when you speak, that will be remembered. So please touch our hearts as only you can. I pray this in your matchless and powerful name. I want you to see four principles here that absolutely work. I know they work. And the first is the principle of cooperation. Look at verse 9. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. Now, the principle here is very, very simple, and it's very real, and it works. Two working together will get more done than two working separately. That's a principle that works. It's been working from the beginning of time. Two working together will get more done than two working separately. We see this principle in Judges 20, verse 11, when the Hebrew people went up against the city of Gibeon because they had committed vile offenses. You could read about that in Judges 19. I'm not going to go into it because it's very, very vile what they did. And so the people went against them, and it says there in Judges 20, verse 11, so all the men of Israel were gathered against the city, united as one man, in total and complete cooperation and in unity. They went against that city and destroyed them. You know, if you search the scriptures, you find some very interesting and powerful two-man teams. For example, you find the team of Moses and Aaron. Yes, they were brothers, but they made a pretty good team. Caleb and Joshua made a pretty good team. Elijah and Elisha, they made a pretty good team. In the New Testament, Paul and Barnabas, and then later Paul and Silas, another really, really good teams. And if you just stop and think for a little while, in the later half of the 20th century, one of the greatest evangelistic teams of all time, and there have been a number of those back over hundreds of years, Billy Graham and Cliff Barrows. God used them in a powerful, powerful way. By the way, I went back and double-checked this past week. I knew this was true, but I went back and checked it. Billy Graham died 2.5 months short of 100. Cliff Barrows, he was the guy that died young, just before he turned 94. He would have turned 94 just before he died, so he was the young one. And George Beverly Shea, the third, died when he was 104. And I just wondered, you know, when I looked at that, I just wondered, was God pleased with the work those men did and just decided, I'm going to bless all three of them with a long life? You think maybe? Huh? You think maybe? He could do that? Yeah, he could do that. And so these are great teams who have shown and practiced this principle of cooperation. People working together can get a lot done. People who are not working together and who are splintered and separated will get very little done. It's a powerful principle, and yet we ignore it. We ignore it. This was absolutely true at Euclid Avenue, and I've already shared this with you, that there was a team of four of us that were together for 11 years, and we were dear friends. We're still dear friends. One of them, from my perspective, unfortunately, is now present with the Lord. I wish the Lord had left Brother Bill around a little bit longer, but we're still dear friends, and we still keep in touch. But we work together as a team, the four of us together as a team. They would come up with the crazy ideas, and then I would sell it and push it. But we worked great together. And to be very honest with you, the success we had at Euclid Avenue and the growth that we had during that period of time was far more on the backs of those three rather than me. But it was a teamwork, and it worked. God blessed. And we had a great fellowship. We had a great spirit of unity and people being saved and added to the church. And even with all those funerals I preached, we still grew. When I retired, we were right at about 400 on Sunday mornings. And God blessed that because we were a team working together. And so the people just kind of joined in. They saw that, how it worked. And they joined in and God blessed it. The principle of cooperation. This is true. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. It's a principle that has worked and worked and worked and worked, and yet in Baptist churches we ignore it. And we fight our little battles and we get splintered and separated and mad at each other, and then we wonder why nothing happens. Well, hello. Just go back to the Word of God. Second principle, the principle of compassion. We find this in verse 10. Now I'm going to get on your cases here a little bit this morning. In fact, you're probably going to get tired of this and decide you want somebody else to be doing the preaching here because I'm getting on your case a good bit. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. The principle of compassion. I've noticed over the years that church members have lots of friends in the church, but many times those are just surface level. And one of the things that I've noticed is in Baptist churches, I hate to say this, but I've been in this work 50 years. That's half a century. I've seen a lot. I've experienced a lot. I've seen a lot. And I'm telling you the truth. There is far too little compassion, general compassion in our churches. Real compassion. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion, but woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. You know, this literally happened to me physically. This was about 6 months ago, 6 or 7 months ago. I don't remember who was preaching, but at the end, a bunch of us came up at the invitation, and the preacher was praying. And I came up here. When I pray, I kneel. I've done that from the very beginning. That's just, I can pray standing up. I can pray sitting down. But when I pray, I really want to be on my knees. And so I came, and I was right over in here somewhere. And I knelt, and the brother was praying. And as we got kind of toward the end of the prayer, my right leg started cramping right here in my the top part of my leg, and it started cramping really bad. And I was kneeling on my right knee, right around in here somewhere. And he finished, and I couldn't get up because my leg had cramped, and I couldn't get up. And I don't know who it was, but there was some man was standing right behind me, and I don't even remember now who it was, who saw that I was having trouble, reached down, grabbed my arm, and pulled me up. And if he hadn't done that, I might still be right here saying, "Somebody help me, please." That was a physical, natural truth, but really, it's meant to be interpreted spiritually. And let me tell you, folks, in the real world, Christians fail. Christians fall. In one way or another, we all fall short of God's glory, in one way or another. But that's the real world. We're not perfect. We haven't reached that place yet. And woe to the one who falls, and there's no one to have compassion. Do you understand? I talked about this Sunday night. Do you understand the reason for spiritual discipline? It is always restoration, not punishment. Always. Listen to Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass. Did you hear that? Any trespass. Any trespass. You who are spiritual, what? Restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. A spirit of gentleness. Do you hear that? Considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. And then Paul finished, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. I'll tell you, there are a lot of churches that are not getting it done today because there just isn't very much compassion in the church. And this principle works. Just like the principle of cooperation, the principle of compassion works. God will change people's lives when there's someone there to reach down a hand and say, let me help you. Let me help you get through this. Let me help you become what you ought to be and what God wants you to be in Christ. And it'll work. It'll work. And listen, in one way or another, we're all going to need a compassionate hand from someone for something. I guarantee you, I've lived long enough. March 10th, I hit 80. I've lived long enough to know at one point or another, we're all going to need a compassionate hand. Principle number 3, the principle of closeness. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? I'm going to tell you a story that's 25 years old, so I just want you to know I recognize it. It's really an old illustration. But in Alaska, especially during the winter, you never go on a trip without making preparations in case something goes wrong. And so during the winter, when I was driving back and forth to the Kenai Peninsula, about a three and a half hour drive over a mountain range, I would always have stuff in the trunk just in case, you know, because you never really know. Well, two guys in the winter got in their small plane, and by the way, Alaska has the largest small plane population of all of the 50 states because it's needed to get around and get to certain places. And so they got in a plane, small plane, single engine. They're flying somewhere, and the engine conked out. They crash landed. And they had made that foolish mistake. They did not prepare for something like that happen. So nighttime was coming. Temperature was plunging. They knew they were in trouble. They had one blanket in the plane. And they knew they were in trouble. So one of the two came up with the idea, here's what we're going to do, maybe this will save our lives. We'll strip down, we'll get next to each other and roll up in this blanket and see if by sharing body heat and keeping it in the blanket the best we can, whether we might survive. And the next morning they were found, they were rescued, hypothermia had already set in, but they lived. They made it. A perfect example here of how can one stay warm alone If you've crash landed in Alaska in a plane, well, you can't. But those two men figured out how they could do it by sharing their body heat in that blanket, and they survived. It's a principle that is true, but again, the spiritual principle is the one that's most important. Who would say here this morning, any of us, would any of us here say this morning, I don't need to be closer to God than I am right now? Would anyone say that? If you could say that, please come up to me and talk to me after the service, because I need to hear what you have to say. Because I'll tell you right now, after having been a Christian for 59 years, I know I need to be closer to the Lord than I am right now. I want to be closer to the Lord. I want to walk in His way. I want to sense the power of His Spirit and His presence upon me. I want Him to use me. Which of us here this morning could say, no, I don't need to be any closer to God. I'm as close as I could get right now. Whew. Well, like I said, you come up and talk to me after the service. I need to hear what you have to say. But I'll tell you something else. In our churches, we need to get closer to each other. Mm-hmm. We need to get closer to each other. We really do. At Euclid, there was a couple, Glenn and Carolyn Murray, wonderful people. Everybody called him Mr. That's Right, because he would always sit in the center section on the edge. And whenever I said something, which was quite often, that he liked, he would yell out, "That's right! That's right!" And so everybody started calling him Mr. That's Right, because they heard him saying that all the time. Well, he was a pastor earlier in his life, but then he and Carolyn, he left the pastorate, and they went to trucker school. They each got their license. They bought a big rig, and for 17 years, they drove all over this country in that big rig. And because both of them could drive, they kept that rig on the road all the time. It was going all the time, because one could sleep while the other was driving. And they could tell us stories that I would just want to sit and listen to them for hours and hours, tell their stories about driving that big rig all across the country. But one thing Carolyn said is, during those 17 years, we got so close. And I thought, well, you know, there's probably only two alternatives. Either you get really, really close to each other, or you murder each other. One of the two. Well, fortunately for them, it was the other. You know, they said, we just got so close to each other, because they were in that cab for, you know, 16, 20 hours a day. They were in that cab driving that truck, and just got to know things about one another that they had never known before. And yet, that's kind of an example that in our churches, we really, really need to get to know each other better. And we really need to get closer to one another. And maybe if we knew each other better, we could trust one another more. Maybe we could love one another more. And maybe we could cooperate together more. Maybe we would have more compassion for one another if we really, really got closer to each other. Deb and I have said many, many times, and I hope you and Allison will be able to say the same thing, that one of the great blessings over the last 50 years has been the wonderful, wonderful, godly men and women that we came to know serving the Lord in five churches, and people that got close. We got close to some of those folks. And they were such a blessing to us, such an encouragement to us. Those folks enabled us to fulfill our calling. And they were always there for us whenever we needed anything. There was a couple in New Orleans when Angela was born. You know, Deb grew up here in Bristol, 750 miles away down in New Orleans, 900 miles away from Maryland, where I grew up. And they became Maw-Maw and Paw-Paw. Now, we weren't related at all. But that couple, they just got so close to us, and we got so close to them. If you go to Angela and mention their names, she will immediately respond, "Oh yeah, Maw-Maw and Paw-Paw." It was like they were family, and such a blessing. I'll tell you about this sometime, even though you won't believe it. About a couple in the church that built houses, and here I am, a poor seminary student working on a doctorate, and they built us a new house. I have to tell you about that sometime. And took a tremendous loss on it. I mean, people like that, that are just have been such an incredible blessing to us. I wonder how we would have made it without them. And the same thing's happening here. I'm getting to know some of you folks, and finding out that, you know, you're wonderful folks too, godly people. You love the Lord, and you've already been a blessing to me, more than I can imagine. This principle will work. The principle of closeness. If we just will make the effort to get to know each other a little better and get closer to one another. Guess what? We are a family. Yeah, do you know, almost no one uses the word brother or sister anymore. That's gone. Except for me, because I'm old time. But we are brothers and sisters in the family of God, right? Amen. We have one Father, one spiritual Father. We have one Savior. And we're in this wonderful family together, and we're going to be together for eternity. Well, why can't we love each other and be compassionate and get close to one another down here? Why do we have to wait till we get on the other side? We don't have to. Make the effort. Okay, well, the principle of cooperation, the principle of compassion, the principle of closeness, they work. And finally, the principle of camaraderie. Now, a lot of you you're not familiar with that word. It's an old military word. I'll bet you use that, Jimmy, in the Army. The word means all for one and one for all. And so you look at verse 12 and look at this. Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. So you take a single strand rope. You better not trust that single strand rope too much. It could snap. But you take a double strand rope where it's woven together. Trust that a little bit more. It's going to be a better rope. You take a three-strand rope, all wrapped and woven together. It's not going to be easily broken. And what he's saying was here, and here's the principle, each of us has an important place in the family of God. Each of us is important to the Lord, equally important to the Lord. The word that I think of that comes along with this camaraderie is the Greek word koinonia, translated fellowship. In the first century, it referred to a group in a community meeting. But it came to refer to the church as the fellowship of God. We are the fellowship of God. Let that sink in. We are the community of believers. God did not make us to be islands unto ourselves. We were made to be a part of the family. This wonderful and glorious family of God. I'm going to tell you something that is true. I've seen it too many times. It's true. Sometimes the back door of a church is busier than the front door. You get that? Sometimes people are going out of the church faster than people are coming into the church. And you know why that happens? Many times it's because they never find a place. People will come in, and they're coming in, and they're looking, is there a place for me here? Is there a place where I can fit in? Is there a place here where I can be received as a part of the family? And if they don't find it, it ain't going to be long before they're out the back door. And they're going somewhere else. Looking for another place. Still looking for a place somewhere. I can fit in. I can be a part. I know you don't remember the illustration of the bricks that I used last Sunday. But in that house that was built, it was all the same kind of brick. And I talked about how we're all different, unique bricks. But there was a place there for every brick. And you can just imagine now this brick house with maybe 100 or 125 bricks missing. Well, that ain't going to look right. It's going to look funny. Not only that, it's going to influence the structural strength of those bricks. Every brick is necessary in the right place. And if it's not there, something's missing. It's not right. And that's us. Every one of us has a place. Every one of us is perfect in one way or another for a position and a place that the Lord has for us. We are not, I wrote this in my notes, we are not bumps on a log. You ever seen a log that just had bumps on it? Well, we all have. We're not just bumps on a log. Each of us is very, very important to the Lord. So guess what's going to happen? History is going to answer this question. If the Lord doesn't come back 100 years from now, I cannot see that. I can't see this world here another 100 years. But if I'm wrong, which I have been wrong many, 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 many times, if I am wrong, 100 years from now, some historian will write about this time and maybe even write about the churches in America as we moved into the new millennium. And those historians will answer the question, will we stand alone or together? And they'll answer it. They stood alone. Look what happened. Where they stood together. Look what happened. You're going to have to answer that question for the future of Tennessee Avenue Baptist Church. It is on your shoulders to decide, will you stand alone or will you stand together? So, Lord, I ask you now to just put that question into our minds. Lord, I don't care if the folks forget everything that I've said except that question. Would you just put that in the minds and hearts of the folks here? Will we stand alone or together? Because we will have to answer that question. Lord, my prayer would be that somehow, some way, you can bring Christians all across this country, even from different denominations and backgrounds. Somehow, Lord, do a miracle and bring us together so we can be united and together dealing with the great issues and the great questions of today. And the lostness of America. Lord, the prayer was offered this morning, these precious, precious little children, that at the earliest possible time they might come to know you in saving faith and grow up and be able to walk in your Spirit. And Lord, I wonder, what kind of America are they going to live in? I wonder that for our 6-year-old grandson. What kind of America is he going to become an adult in? What's he going to face? Oh Lord, somehow perform a miracle and bring us together. The devil splintered us and separated us and pitted us against one another. Somehow overcome that. That we can make an impact on our country, on our community, on our country, on the world, that'll change people's lives. So as we sing this song of invitation, help us to just wrestle a little bit with this question. Will we stand alone or together? In your precious name we pray. Amen. If you can, would you stand, please, as we have our invitation. You know, I don't do long invitations because God didn't call me to beg people to respond. I would if it made a difference. If it made a difference, I would do that. I'd get on my knees and beg someone if I knew it would make a difference. But I know that people have to decide for themselves how God's speaking to them and how they're going to respond. So if you need to respond, then I'll stand here all day if that's necessary. But we're going to sing, and if you've sensed that need to respond, okay. If you don't, we will go on. So, Brother Joey, lead us, please, and let's just sing, see how God speaks. Maybe you can just make your decision right there where you stand.
He loves you and me. Oh, how He loves you and me. He gave His life. What more could He give? Oh, how He loves you. Oh, how He loves me. Oh, how He loves you. Calvary did go. His love for mankind to show. What He did there brought hope from despair. Oh, how He loves you. Oh, how He loves me. Oh, how He loves you and me.
Doesn't He? Amen. I'm sure glad that He does. Brother Joey, Sister Charlotte's having some back surgery tomorrow. and wants to be prayed over.
Can I have our deacons and come as we pray
God,
over her?
God does work through prayer. Amen. Starting next Sunday, just for your information, all through March, on Sunday mornings, we're going to be looking at Jesus and the cross every Sunday. From different perspectives, we're going to look at Isaiah's perspective, Matthew's perspective. So we're going to be looking at different texts that all of them will relate to the cross and what Jesus accomplished there, leading up to Resurrection Sunday. And so that's going to be what we're going to be doing through the month of March.
Brother Scott would like to share something with you.
I'll keep this short and to the point. I've told you all 1,000 times, and I'll tell anybody in this town, I love all of you, and I'm so thankful for each and every one of you. From the standpoint where we're standing, we're having a bit of a shortfall. I just pray and ask that you would keep the campus on your heart and your mind. I pray, Lord, for our school across the street and that you'll keep them in your mind. This isn't anything against any part of the church. Our numbers have been down. Our giving has been down. We just have a lot of needs, and I feel like we do a lot for the community, and I want to continue to be able to do that. If you feel led to make an extra donation to the school, they're working really hard to get accredited right now. I mean, they are going night and day to get things pulled together. But with this program now where they're handing out money, and I'm sorry I can't think of the names for it, that has pulled students from us. They can take that funding and go to another school free, where we don't have that. The folks across the street are working like mad to get that taken care of. They have gone above and beyond in every way, shape, fashion, and form to get that done. There were some last-minute changes that we thought were going to pull us out of the accreditation department or being reviewed this year, but I think that will possibly change. That will still put us out a little ways from being able to collect that money if the good Lord sees fit for us to get it. But please keep that ministry on your heart and your mind. Financially, if you can't, I'll take prayers all day long, and especially for things like Miss Charlotte coming up here this morning. I have full faith in the physicians that we have, but I know who our greatest one is, and I know who can turn things around. So just to tie in with Brother Bob's message this morning, this hit me like a freight train. Now is the time that we need to be praying not only for each other in this country, but this campus and what we do here in town. And I fail every day. I'll be the first one to tell you, but I'm asking God to help us all. Sorry to dump all this on you. I just, with the message this morning, I felt like this is the time to bring this up. Just please keep that in your heart and your mind. Thank you all. Again, I love all of you, and I hope you have a great day. And we do have a deacon's meeting afterwards. And one last thing, today is Larry's birthday, so be sure and tell him happy birthday. Yes, Larry, you're welcome, buddy. There you go.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. Thank you all to all of our guests. Are all minds and hearts clear? If so, Brother Keith Boyd, will you dismiss us?